Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A lot of thunderstorms this morning. Apparently, more coming later in the day. Power was out at my house. Luckily, it is back, because that would have been text messages all morning from Gina while I was doing the show. She would not be interested in the fact that I was doing my job. She'd just be texting me about the power being out. What should I do with the grocery? Should I
destroy
should
nothing? I, should you, I get,
should get in the cooler? Where should I go? Where should I take? Should I bring the dog? Should I open the windows? No. So power went back on and all is okay.
That's good. I'm happy.
All is okay.
That's great. And PSE and G did the thing, right?
They did the thing. So I was reading an article about Arch Manning, believe it or not. I was looking into some college football for whatever reason. Don't ask me why.
Today is nil day. That's why.
Nil,
and it's also the day in which now the schools can start sharing their money with their players.
Yeah, share that money to those players. Let's go, huh? Pay those players. So Arch Manning said he was studying two NFL quarterbacks during this offseason. And I was wondering if you wanted to guess who those two quarterbacks were, or who you would study if you were Arch Manning. That's a better question. Who would you be studying if you were Arch Manning? Young kid. There are two active players, I should say.
Yeah, right. Two active quarterbacks.
Two active quarterbacks. He is focused on studying this offseason because he really wants to play the game like they do. Thinks there's a lot of things he could learn from them.
Okay, number one, I would say, is Joe Burrow.
Bang! You got that right. Studying Joe Burrow this offseason.
And number two, I would say Patrick Mahomes.
No, did not say Patrick Mahomes.
Did he say Josh Allen?
He said Josh Allen, so you nailed it. So
okay.
Those are the two.
Well, those are the three. I mean, Lamar plays a different type of game, although Lamar's game has been refined over the last few years. He's throwing more than he ever has. But I can understand why he would look at those two guys. He's very similar. He's very similar in body type.
Yeah.
He's more of a pocket passer, but he obviously has the ability to run, unlike his uncles. His uncles can't run. I mean, they were tripping over themselves when they were running.
Yeah.
But he does run. He actually is a really good athlete. So I can understand why both of those quarterbacks. Joe Burrow will run a little bit.
Yeah, only when he needs to, though.
Right. But Josh Allen does take off. There's no question.
And Patrick Mahomes takes off a lot. I mean, I'm sure that he's seen a ton of Patrick Mahomes. But he also plays the game in a different way. Like, I could see how a coach wouldn't want a young prospect to watch Patrick Mahomes, because then he could maybe try to do stuff that that only Patrick Mahomes can do that prospect couldn't do.
I'm surprised he didn't say he was looking at old tapes of Tom Brady, but that would probably annoy his uncles.
Yeah.
Because Tom Brady taught himself, and Aaron Rodgers for that matter too, to be fundamentally sound when delivering the football and when they were in the pocket. And that was the footwork, that was the ball placement, the accuracy. Those guys were at the top of their game. And I would think that Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, for different reasons, bring that same aspect to their games that he probably wants to try to mirror.
Now, if you were a righty quarterback and you were coming through college, would you pick those two guys, too, that you would study out of all of them with your size? You're Boomer size.
Yeah, I felt like I would have similar traits.
To those two guys.
Yeah.
What about
height,
Herbert?
Size.
I mean, Herbert's, he's not gotten over the hump, and he needs to win some games.
Still a great throw. I mean, like, really, he almost has the perfect release and delivery, and he can make every throw on the football field. And, he's dealing with, changes in coaches and everything else, which is unfortunate for him, as opposed to both Joe Burrow and Josh Allen have the original coach that drafted him.
Yes.
So that kind of gets in the way, I think, of a little bit of the success for Justin Herbert, but I would say, one of those three guys.
Yeah. So I was listening to, actually, I saw the clip on WFAN's X account of Evan, who was on the air when the Jalen Ramsey Steelers trade, where Minkah Fitzpatrick goes back and Jonnu Smith goes to the Steelers, they were on the air when that happened. And his take was that the Steelers season's going to be so bad that Mike Tomlin finally won't be there any longer. And the Giants season's going to be so bad that Brian Daboll won't be there. And Mike Tomlin will be the Giants coach next year.
Yeah, like, that trade
made him connect those dots.
Well, that's an interesting take on it. And I think if things go south in Pittsburgh, it may be time. But I'm sure Mike Tomlin is very happy to have Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. As hard as that is for you to believe that, I would think that he's very happy to have him back there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that he enjoyed having the veteran presence of Russell Wilson there for, I mean, when they were winning games. I mean, obviously it went south quick towards the end of the season. But, yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to be, like, he went through the Kenny Pickett thing. It really didn't work out. It was bad. You know, he doesn't want to do that at this point. I mean, this team needs to win a playoff game. Like, this is important for them. And they still have issues, too, with T.J. Watt and his contract. So there is a lot going on there, but it does show you that, you know, you need to draft well. So we're talking about that kid just quickly. I wanted to mention, because you had said, you know, so Preston Carey's this huge prospect from Northport. He announced where he was going last night. 6'6", 295-pound defensive lineman who went down to IMG Academy in Bradenton.
And he's 18 years old.
Yes. So how about? You said you would go to Rutgers if you were him because you'd be starting right away. You'd be able to, you know, be out there, get yourself on tape.
Especially if I were coming from St. Anthony's. If I were coming from St. Anthony's,
yeah.
I would be more apt to do that as opposed to exposing myself to athletes that I had never seen before.
But he had seen him in IMG.
Exactly.
And he did pick Georgia.
And I'm sure they probably paid him the most.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
But he also, again, like I said, he was exposed to some of the best high school athletes and was treated like a professional at IMG Academy. So at least he was exposed to that group of athletes. Like up here, we're not exposed to a lot of these athletes that come out of California, come out of Texas, come out of Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi. I mean, you think about, you know, all these great athletes that are in the NFL today. There's some from Long Island, for sure, and there's some from New Jersey because there's some great athletes over there as well. But the concentration of those great football players, especially defensive linemen, I mean, he knows what he's up against, and hopefully he'll be playing his freshman year, and if he isn't, maybe he'll go into the transfer portal. Who knows?
Of course.
He always has that in his back pocket.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm sure Rutgers is very, very disappointed.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they were right there. They were down. It was down to the final four. So it was Auburn, Georgia, Rutgers, and Florida. So they were down to the final four. So I'm sure that they were impressed by Rutgers to a certain degree.
Yeah. So as we turn the month to July now, it really is. It's when college athletes can begin getting paid from the schools with their revenue sharing sources. And then anything that they're doing NIL-wise, NIL-wise, they have to go through a thing now called NIL-GO.
NIL-GO.
Yeah. And they got to look at the, you know, the contract. And they got to give it their blessing in order for the athlete to get paid, which is, I mean, just another bureaucratic nightmare.
Yeah.
You just keep throwing money and throwing more people at problems as opposed to really coming down with a hard and, you know, just a really hard rule-laden thing that everybody should follow. But I guess because it's state by state, they can't.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you would be talking about essentially like a salary cap for the NIL money.
Well, again, like, so, like, Livy Dunn from LSU, the gymnast.
Yeah, who is now done. You know, she's no longer.
Right, but she and the Cavender twins from the University of Miami, you remember those girls? They were the ones that were using their NIL, their name, image, and likeness, the right way. You know, they were all over social media. People wanted to be around them. People wanted to pay for their influence. And that's exactly what NIL was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be a collective by, you know, by alum that were putting money into a pot and then paying players.
Right, of course. It was supposed to be like it was all based on
the video games back in the day where you're going to use me and my number and
or
my
you're
face.
Sell my jersey.
Right, in the team store and have my name, my number on the back and everybody knows it's me, but I don't get any money. That's what it's
about,
supposed to be.
It wasn't about signing a $450,000 deal with a collective that is representing the school and then you have to go to hospitals and show up to see sick kids.
Yeah.
That's not what it was supposed to be.
Right.
But now what it has turned into and basically, it's this revenue sharing model where each team, each school, Power Five Conference school, has to share $20.5 million with their athletes. The question is, which athletes do they pay it on? So the money is really made in football. So a bulk of this money is going to the football players. The second level of that money is going to another revenue generating sport. That would be men's basketball. And I think that was the argument that Maryland had with their basketball coach who went to Villanova, Kevin Willard. You know, like I want, you know, $5 million of that $20.5 million. I don't want $3 million. I want to be able to go out and get some real players.
Right. And I have a much better chance. This is what Willard would probably say. I have a much better chance of winning a national championship here in basketball than you do in football.
Exactly. 100% is that would be the thing that he would think. And he probably feels that way at Villanova.
Oh, yeah. Without
a much better chance of winning a national championship at Villanova than Maryland ever would have at winning a national championship through football, just simply because, like Rutgers, they're outmanned and outgunned.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'll definitely look different in 5 years from now, but I don't know how different. I mean, we now see the general managers. We're seeing, this nil-go thing, which I don't think makes any sort of impact on it. But
well, it really does. What it really does is, like, it just takes whatever control that the NCAA had right out of their hands. And, they brought in Charlie Baker as the new CEO and president of the NCAA, a former governor of Massachusetts who was a Republican. And figure if you could be a Republican in Massachusetts and be a governor, you can get along with both sides of the aisle. And I think the thinking was that they were going to put him in front of Congress and he was going to try to get Congress involved in putting down some federal statutes to actually be able to cover their ass.
Yeah.
And all he does is he shows up and he gets yelled at by senators and congressmen.
Isn't that how every one of those goes?
Like, yeah, it's
you just
all
sit
partisan.
There and then they just yell at you.
I mean, what they all should do is just sit down and try to come up with something that is good for everybody in this world, because there's still going to be the haves and the have-nots. And then the question is, are all schools going to keep like their Olympic sports? Like, those Olympic sports don't bring any money to the school. You know, those are all subsidized by the football and basketball programs. And in some cases, the women's basketball program does bring in some money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you got to think about all these different ways that you have to be able to sustain all these different sports and find money for it. And I don't know if all these schools are going to be able to do that.
Ari in Valley Cottage. Good morning, Ari.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
I'm only 36 years old, but I feel like I'm going to be telling my kids already. Back in my day, when I remember when college basketball was a great sport to watch. I mean, the pendulum has swung so far in the other direction that it's not enjoyable anymore when you get these kids for 1 year, and then it's not like they go to the NBA, but they just go to the transfer portal, go to a different school. You can't build a program. I mean, that's what made college basketball different from the NBA. And now, it's just unwatchable.
Yeah, I mean, there are some programs. I mean, very few now, but there are some programs where, the mid-majors that have guys that are there for several years that aren't real NBA prospects, and they compete in that way. But, yeah, I mean, any real Division I program that has got a history and a legacy is doing exactly that. I mean, St. John's is doing it. I mean, they got the money now, and they're doing it.
Yeah, I just, they'll have a chance just simply because they have Rick Pitino and they have Mike Rapoli behind them. And, they'll spend the money. And they'll spend the money on their basketball program. That basketball program makes them money. So, I don't know. It's really disappointing, but I understand why the ruling came down. I just think about, the 4.5 years that I spent at the University of Maryland were like 4 of the greatest years of my life.
Mm.
And I have some of my best friends and playing golf with the quarterbacks that were behind me, Frank Reich and Stan Gelbaugh, a couple of weeks back. I asked at dinner one night, like, which one of you would have went into the transfer portal, or would I have gone into the transfer portal? Because I sat for 2 years.
Yeah.
And we all three of us said, yes, we would have gone into the transfer portal. But then again, all three of us looked at it and said, damn glad we didn't.
Sure.
Because of what we got out of our time together and what the University of Maryland gave to us. So it's just a totally different mindset now for kids.
All right,
and their parents.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, I was just talking to Fleegs, about the Mets a little bit, and then I said, "When's Jesse Winker coming back?"
Well, he was just at the rehab assignment. It was like some sort of theme night, a Toy Story night. He was wearing a Toy Story jersey.
See, that's the guy because he could be the slump buster guy.
Mm.
That's right up his alley.
Single guy, Jesse Winker?
I believe he is.
Yeah, and he is definitely.
I think we had a caller that, was calling in to try to say that, and I just wanted to make sure that we got to that.
Yeah, I'm not positive he's a married guy or not, but if he isn't, slump buster Winker would be perfect. Because, he would find the one.
Yeah, it's interesting. They also have to figure out what the hell is going on with Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, we've seen him go in these extended slumps before. He seems like there's no in between with Lindor. He either disappears for a month or he is MVP like for.
But he hurt his toe. Isn't that right, Fleegs?
Yeah, he's got the toe issue.
So he's playing shortstop. He's got a toe issue, and he's basically gone into a funk offensively. Is it tied to the toe?
I don't know. Rhetorical question, or did you actually need an answer there?
No, I was just thinking that it's obviously got to be tied to something.
And tied to the toe.
Did they decide to sit him down? And if he gets voted into the All-Star game, does he play?
I better not. All-Star games. Enough. Enough with the All-Star games. I mean, if anybody had any lingering injury at all, no. Do not go to the All-Star
game. I mean, Major League Baseball has the best All-Star game. Okay. The only one really left.
Yeah, I mean, great.
Okay.
As I say before, it's like having the best complexion in a leper colony. Really don't mean
yeah,
much.
Like I'm saying to you that it means a lot to the players to be selected.
Yeah, okay. All-Star games. Yep,
yeah.
In 2025.
Okay.
Still doing All-Star games. All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
Well, we are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. The Yankees did lose last night, but I'll start with the positive. I'll give you the Thrivewell player of the game. Brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion, and that is because down 5-3, Cody Bellinger was at it again.
His pitch to Bellinger, swing on, drilled down the right field line, hit well, carrying and out, gone, home run, Cody Bellinger on a 2-1 pitch, draws the Yankees a little bit closer. It's a 5-4 ball game now.
And he is our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit thrivewellinfusion.com. Interesting what happened next. So then they intentionally walk Aaron Judge, put the tying run on base. They could not get him around to score. You had the Jazz Chisholm sack bunt, which was odd. But later in the inning, with two on and two out, now Anthony Volpe had himself a very difficult night in the field because of the two throws, not so much with the way he finished, but could not come through thanks to some good defense.
1-0 pitch in the gap in right center field, and they'll not get down. What a play by Straw. He outran it.
Yes, he did. Made the catch, ended the inning. It was 5-4. I do like that goal.
1-0 pitch in the gap in right center field, and they'll not get down.
Eva Koo. That's right. Exactly. So the Blue Jays would fend off the Yankees. 5-4 was the final. Dave Sims with both the calls here on the Fan. There was a lot in this game. You had Volpe at shortstop, the bad throw to third, the throw to first, allowing the runner to go from second to third. You had that line drive. Toronto makes the goodbye. I know we don't hear from Aaron Boone, but just 3 seconds. I mean, he could not believe what he watched, and quite frankly, he couldn't speak. So that was from the manager's visiting dugout.
What?
What's the matter? What?
Sounds like he should be working here.
I guess he could be, so that was kind of weird. What's the matter?
Chair squeaking? What is that?
What? I guess I should have played. What the hell is that sound?
Damn.
Well, no, that's you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You. That is you. I thought you'd notice immediately.
No, I honestly thought you were saying Aaron Boone and the whole thing from the... Wow. That is goal horn-esque.
That is you from about 7 o'clock.
Oh, it was from the guy who said the blood, yeah.
Correct.
Nice.
So there you go.
That means it was genuine because I had no... I don't know how to create that sound. I couldn't do it again.
It sounds like we've got
zipping something up in the middle of that. That's what I thought it was.
We've got Al's whatever the hell that is. We've got Boomer, who sounds like a legitimate NHL goal horn.
Yeah,
as he's laughing.
And I have a squeaky chair and a zipping up of a bag. That is incredible.
And that came out of your mouth.
Wow.
So there you have
Damn.
It.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good there, Jerry.
Here's Trent Grisham. So he left the game in the fifth inning, hamstring injury. What the hell happened?
It's just a feeling, you know, when you're playing, maybe a little bit of tightness, just uncomfortability, really. But it happened on the play coming in. My foot kind of got caught up underneath me. Felt in a weird spot, so... told Booney and them, and felt like it was just smarter to kind of see what happens.
And so we will find out, I'm sure, at some point today, the severity of that. They've got all sorts of injury concerns. Austin Wells, the artery in his finger was all screwed up. Fernando Cruz, one of their relief pitchers, injured list, oblique injury. Hopefully Max Fried gets through today okay. He gets the start at 3:07. Coverage on the Fan at 2:25. Fried taking on Kevin Gausman. The Yankees now 48-36. Still atop the AL East by a game and a half of Tampa, who lost to the A's 6-4. 2 in front of Toronto, who are now 46-38. Meantime, the Red Sox are lurking a little bit as well. Not quite nearly as close, but they beat the Reds 13-6. And how about the night we had for Willier Abreu? We will start with one of the rarities in baseball.
High drive, way back there toward the triangle. Friedl racing back, and that one is going to be off the wall. That's going to keep on rolling on the running track. Here comes Willier rounding third. He's trying to score, looking for an inside to Parker. He dives in with an inside the park home run.
And so if that wasn't cool enough, Nesson with the call there, how about we push it forward a couple of innings? This kid really had himself a night and capped it with the bases full.
Swinging a high fly ball. He got underneath this one. A drive to right, and that ball is gone. A grand slam.
So an inside the park home run and a grand slam all in the same game. Pretty cool as Boston beats Cincinnati. The Mets were off. They will open up a series with the Brewers tonight. Clay Holmes takes on Freddie Peralta. We know the stretch the Mets are on, it is lousy. 3-13 in their last 16. Just got swept by the Pirates. Gave up 30 runs in the three games. Outscored 30-4. They will try to turn the page tonight. They start the day 2 games behind Philadelphia in the NL East. Philly shut out the Padres 4-0. Zach Wheeler, 8 innings, 6 hits, 10 strikeouts for the win. The former Met thrilled to go 8.
Yeah, it was big. I really wanted to, and Tomper let me in. So it was a good night overall.
A very good night overall. They also got Bryce Harper back in the mix. He was in the lineup, and so Philadelphia playing well again. In the NBA, you've got Mike Brown set to have a second interview for the Knicks head coaching job. Certainly would appear that he right now is the leader in the clubhouse for that job. We shall see. You've got free agency continuing. I did see that Jordan Clarkson, I think so. I think he was at Wimbledon today.
No.
So yesterday we found out, or last night, that the Knicks are expected to sign him. The Nets acquired Michael Porter Jr. and a future first-round draft pick from 2032 from the Nuggets for Cam Johnson. Also of note, you've got Brook Lopez going to the L.A. Clippers. You always wonder what happens to guys in retirement. Now, we've got one guy here who has stayed very, very busy in retirement. Well, Shane Battier was on the Pablo Torre podcast, who we now know from all the stuff with Bill Belichick, obviously. But on that, he was asked about his low point in the NBA, and this was towards the end of his career.
Do you remember the most humiliated you ever felt in the league?
My last year, when I was told, without being told, that our best chance of winning doesn't include you, Shane.
And so as he was in that final stretch, he was sitting on the bench more at the end of games and then realized it was time to head off into retirement. Fair to say he struggled when it was indeed time to hang him up.
I didn't know what depression was. I never had this feeling before, but feeling very isolated. I didn't feel anyone understood what I was going through. I felt very alone, and I pushed people away. I pushed my wife away. I pushed my kids away. And I just was a jerk.
And so then he tried to get into sports broadcasting. And as he admits he was a train wreck on the air, went to ESPN, and it did not go well at all. So this one's a long one, but this, I imagine, again, you've done very well after retirement, but a lot of guys have nothing to do. Here's Battier, retirement not going so good in the beginning.
When you retire, like, you don't know. This is all I knew. It's all I knew. 30 years, right? I had purpose every day. I had the scoreboard above me and told me where I was. All right. I love my teammates. I love being part of a team. Right. The money was great. You know, I had status.
And then it was all gone.
I mean, did he think that he was going to be the only player to play forever? I mean, or did he have an idea that at some point this would happen?
Maybe he thought he'd get into broadcasting and realize it wasn't for him. Then what?
Yeah. He had that, those
coach. Become part of a coaching staff. Remember his coach head? High schools.
Anybody remember his head?
Yeah, big head.
No, but he had like the lines in it. He had like a very
veiny.
No. It was like
in the back. He had
indentations on his head,
like ripples.
Yeah, like, and I always wonder, like, why are you gonna get like your hair shaved all the way down like that when you got those divots in your head?
Well,
you know, it's always a question for me.
Well, what do you do when the hair stops growing?
But he had hair.
No,
that was
the
thing.
I don't know that.
I mean, you could see he had hair everywhere.
So you're telling me he went into coaching?
No, he could have.
Well, he might have. This was when he first retired and had no idea what the hell he was going to do.
So this was back in 2012 and 13, his last year with Miami.
That he was talking about Eric Spoelstra that wasn't playing him at the end, yes.
At least he was honest with him.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, just sat him.
Right, he played, you know, he played in a lot of playoff games.
How long was his career, Battier?
I want to say from 2000, I'm looking at this right here. 2001 to 2013.
Good career.
Yeah.
How much money do you think he made?
Shane Battier, I will say, made 13 years before they were making $30 million a year.
I'm going to say 100. 75.
I'm going to say 100. Are you looking at the number?
No, I'm not.
I'm going to say 108.
No, not even close.
I'm going to say 50? 75.
55. Okay. 9.
Shane now they Battier. Make that in a. Now the Stars make that in one season.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Not that he was the top star, but he was a hell of a player, though.
Yeah, LeBron just opted in at for 40 years old.
52.6.
Yeah, he's 55.9.
Almost all of his career, he was a starter.
Is Tatum getting 60 a year? Does that sound right?
Yeah, somebody is.
I feel like someone's at 60.
Brown's getting a ton.
Yeah. Who knows? The Dolphins agree to trade Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith to Pittsburgh. They get back Minka Fitzpatrick in a pick swap. And first round at Wimbledon, and a shocker has just taken place.
Yeah, it is the victory of Elisabetta Cacioretto's life. In the opening round of the championships, she takes down world number 3, Jessica Pegula.
So a quick stay for Jessica Pegula. Yeah, she lost, I think it was 6-2, 6-3, so straight sets.
I was hoping it was one of those Russians she beat, not Jessica Pegula.
So it was just, Pegula.
Just go back to that salary structure. Jason Tatum is 54, 58, 62, 67. Jalen Brown is 53, 57, 61, 64.
It's going to be weird when they have to play 5-on-2.
Exactly, but this is why they're getting rid of everybody.
God. Yeah, it is something. They're going to be an interesting team next year. Yeah, they have nobody.
They're punting.
Yeah, clearly. See if they actually trade Jalen Brown if someone makes him a good offer. And the Maple Leafs, speaking of trades, trade Mitch Marner to the Golden Knights, where he then gets himself an 8-year deal for $96 million.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
There is 0% that's not AI. 0%. That's got to be. Come on. Did they get them at FanFest or whatever? Fanatics Fest?
I think those are real, but
I was forwarded the email chain from the Giants and Pat Hanlon, and there's more. These are very real.
Really? So Pat Hanlon's involved. I thought Izzo was back there just bored on a summer day and just pumping these things out.
We got to have him do like, "Hi, this is Mike, the captain of the poop cruise. Happy 30th.
Or the Indian chef. You get him to do that. That would be awesome. You missed it, Boomer. Russell Wilson wished us a happy WFAN birthday, and I thought it was AI. But apparently it's not AI because Pat Hanlon was involved, unless he's trying to trick us and he's laughing somewhere.
Get your headphone and your earpiece in
I have it. Yeah.
All right. So, and this is it again.
Hey, WFAN, Russell Wilson here, wishing you a happy, happy birthday and congratulations on 38 incredible years as a voice of New York sports. You guys have been there for the fans every step of the way, especially our Giants fans. Here's to many, many more. Go Big Blue.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. I still don't believe it. And it doesn't sound like genuine. It doesn't sound like him, really. Well, he doesn't sound genuine. He's probably the toughest person to decipher whether or not it's AI or not, because his real him sounds fake. You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
Wow. So there's more of these, Fleeks? Who else we got?
We'll have him as rejoins throughout the rest of the show.
Well, okay, but I mean, I kind of want to know who else.
All right, here's...
No, you don't need to play him. I'm just curious. Who else?
Brian Daboll.
Okay.
Aaron Boone.
All right. Well, those guys I could see doing it. All right, Brian Daboll, Aaron Boone. So those are coming up. Are you excited?
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, we do appreciate that. 38 years, Russell Wilson, if that is really Russell Wilson.
I believe it is.
You believe it is?
I do.
All right.
I mean, we are the home of the Giants. We are the home of the Yankees.
Okay.
So why wouldn't they be? Like, if it was their birthday, I would do a birthday shout out to them, you know, through one of my sports minutes.
No, would you?
I think I have, by the way.
That's very nice of you. Yeah, so allegedly
somewhere
not
through the 15,000 sports minutes that I've done, yes.
Big Hurl's saying not AI. Giants actually helped out. Giants.
That's a good partnership right there.
It's great. Not good. Great partnership.
It's a great partnership, yes.
Great partnership.
Just like we have with the Yankees.
Damn right. Not good. Great.
Great.
Yeah.
So you got to tell me that Aaron Judge is going to, you know, he and Shohei Ohtani are going to get the two most votes getters for the All-Star game, that they shouldn't go and celebrate the fact that they're All-Stars?
I'm not going to do an All-Star game topic with it.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Really? I like that.
I know
that,
you
I
mean, hate that. Is, I mean, I'm just I mean, saying what, for the
athletes. Let's do Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Why don't we do that?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Mount Rushmore.
What I'm telling you is that the athletes appreciate
that. How do you fix an All-Star game? Ah! That's what's going to happen over the when we're back that week after we're off every sports talk show. How do you fix this All-Star game?
I did see somebody on Instagram yesterday say how they thought they could fix the NHL playoffs, and I thought it was a brilliant idea.
I thought the NHL playoffs was the greatest thing in the world.
They are, because of what it takes to win the cup and how hard it is and what.
So why would you want to change it?
Well, it's getting a little bit stale because, you know, you have some of the. What you're having is you're having a lot of two of the top teams playing in the first round, and you really don't want that. You'd like to have the best teams making it through. So a guy on Instagram, I don't know who he is or not, said, hey, you know what? Because a lot of NHL fans are sick and tired of the same matchups every year. Seems like, you know, the Rangers are always playing the Capitals or always playing the Hurricanes, or the Islanders were always playing the Lightning, you know, that kind of thing. And so he came up with an idea that instead of doing it the way the NHL does it now, is that if you are the number one team in your conference, okay?
I gotcha.
You should be able to pick which one of the other seven teams that made the playoffs that you would want to play in the first round.
Yeah, wasn't then, this floated? Then, wasn't this
for baseball a couple years ago?
Yeah, this
and
was.
Then,
yeah.
All right, so same thing then. So then number two could pick there the, what's left, and number three picks what's left, and then number four plays who's ever left standing there.
Yeah, this was
and that's
something.
The benefit that right. you would have, but it would also
create,
generate.
Yeah. Well, you wanted us? Well, good. Well,
that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, calling me out.
What do you think about that?
Well, I did like it when it was proposed by, or what we were talking about it with baseball a number of years ago. I thought it was interesting. I would not want to have that pick, though, if I were a team. I honestly would, because then it's, because inherently making that decision, it appears as if you're disrespecting a team.
Of course.
But you're forced to do it.
And then if you get beat by that team.
Yeah, I mean, you'll look like a jackass.
Huge upset.
Yeah, so that's like, I wouldn't want to do it. I mean, I know you earn the right to do it, being the best team, but if I were on that team, then you got dissension in the. I mean, it makes it very interesting for the fan, no doubt about it. I think it's great for fan consumption. However, if I were a general manager, a manager, or a player on a team,
I would hate it.
I wouldn't want that responsibility.
I just think the fans are getting tired of the current playoff format
because of the early, you know, and I know what the NHL is doing. They obviously want rivalry games in that first series.
Yeah.
And they want to generate as much interest through the rivalry aspect of it.
Sure. Yeah, I mean.
But sometimes you get two teams that could quite possibly be the two best teams in that conference playing in the first round against each other.
And that just, that stinks.
Yeah.
Stinks and that's for those
the
two part teams.
That everybody wants to get away from. The other problem, and this is, they have a long-term
IR
reserve problem in the NHL, which I think they're going to try to deal with here. And again, going back to the six teams that are in no state income tax states, do have a major advantage on keeping their top-end players to take less money. And that's a real thing.
Is this a thing in every sport, though?
Yeah, but it's more so because of the hard cap in hockey and because the hockey players don't make as much money as the NBA and you know, in the NFL.
Was it more money, more taxes, though? And there's, you know, there's a hard cap in the NFL,
too. There's also more net money. Yeah, but much more money spent on the top-end players. So, like, Mitch Marner just got $12 million. And that's great. I'm happy for him. And
a year.
We know him. $12 million a year for 8 years. And the reason why the Vegas Golden Knights were able to give him 8 years is because it was a sign and trade. If they would have waited to free agency, then they only could have given Mitchie 7 years. But since they did a sign and trade with Toronto, so Toronto signed the contract, traded the contract, and Toronto, knowing that they were going to lose Mitch Marner, actually got something in return from the Vegas Golden Knights, a prospect, a high-end prospect.
Yep.
So unlike when the Islanders lost John Tavares.
For nothing.
Right. They actually could have done a sign-and-trade back then. I think they could have done a sign-and-trade back then, just like Mitch did with Toronto. So Mitch got what he wanted, which was a huge contract, and he got full 8 years, and he's going to a no-tax, really good team. It's a win for him. And then, you know, now Toronto moves on. They sign other players and they make this trade and they have some cap flexibility and they unfortunately lose one of their better players.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has to be a factor in all of the sports, I would imagine, in free agency. I mean,
but more so in hockey, I'm telling you.
But why?
It just because they don't make as much money. And, you know, it all started with, and I saw P.M. McGuire talking about this, but it all started with Steven Stamkos, who was a free agent from the Lightning. He ended up staying with the Lightning, taking less money because the net money to him, because of the lack of the state income tax, was going to be essentially the same, but it would have cost maybe a Canadian team or, a Northeast team a hell of a lot more money against their cap, and therefore they wouldn't be able to sign more players. But Stamkos took less money so they could sign other players around him to get them the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, just do that thing that everybody else does where you got a residence in Florida, 180 days, and the whole thing. The baseball players do their work up here.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that all works, but all I know is that the other part of it is, and it is a big part of it, for the married players with kids, there are certain places that those families want to live, and the wife has a say in this. So if I'll just take a player. Let's say it's Brad Marchand, who spent his entire career with the Boston Bruins and probably has a great following up there, probably has loved living up there, and he's paying all the taxes up there. And now all of a sudden he gets traded to Florida. They win a Stanley Cup, and his wife and children come down there, and they're living in Palm Beach or wherever, Fort Lauderdale, and it's gorgeous, and everybody's in flip-flops and in the pool, and everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? The family doesn't want to go back to Boston.
No. Of course not. I understand.
So it's a whole nother aspect that nobody even talks about.
All right. Well, you've been talking about it.
I've
put it out there.
I've tried, and I appreciate you letting me.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then because
there was a time when you would never let me talk about golf.
That's not true. Yes, that is not. I did not stop true. You from no.
Yeah, I'd get that air.
No,
you'd Pam Ward me.
Okay. Well, here, if you got that air, what am I doing at that point? Allowing you to talk about it. So I don't want to hear that. That is lies.
Okay. My friend.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.